Christ came. Reignite your passion for God and His work. Listen to Bishop Hamish Odoi, the resident bishop of the Kodesh Family Church, Ghana, Collegonal Cathedral. He comes your way on this podcast with the encouraging word of God. Now, listen to Bishop Hamish Odoi.
Wanting to be sung, but there was no melody.
The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I want you to spend a few minutes this morning to say thank you. We are alive, we are well. So let's rise to our feet in our own way, say thank you. You can complete your invitation and then say thank you. Lift up your hands and just thank God in your own way. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Jesus. Let's thank Him. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the well thy hands hath made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power through all the universe displayed. Lift your voice, thank Him. Oh Lord my God, everybody.
When I'm in awesome wonder,
consider the wealth thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling
thunder, thy power through all
the universe is.
Yes, thanks.
Then sings my soul.
how much you thank him. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how grateful you are. Thank you, Jesus. Just for a few minutes, thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallowed be your name. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lift up your hands. Let's sing this prayerfully. Oh, Lord, I hunger for the more of you. Sing it prayerfully. Rise up within me. Let me know your truth. Let it be your prayer.
Oh, Holy Spirit, saturate.
Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Shall we please take our seats? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we are still studying about our salvation, you know. What we did and what happened because of what we did and what is expected of us because of what happened, because of what we did. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have to understand that God looked at us, and because he loved us so much, he decided to save us. So God decided to do spiritual surgery, like we've explained. So in Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27, God decided to take out a heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. And your heart is your spirit. So with your new spirit, you become a brand new creature and you are ready to live a new life. And this new life is actually possible because you have been created anew. And I've explained over and over that it's only Christianity that claims to change us essentially. make us brand new human beings, if you like. To be born again is as simple as that. God comes and takes away your old nature and then gives you a new nature. And so we are trying to understand what God has done and why God did what he did. So I've been explaining that God did spiritual surgery. And when you go to the hospital and surgery is done, before the procedure, the surgeon or the doctors will explain to you what they are going to do. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Beautiful. And then after the surgery or the procedure, they will explain to you what they did and what has happened as a result of the surgery. You know, a couple of weeks ago, my son had minor surgery. And after the minor surgery, the doctor said something to him that, do this, because if you don't do this, it may reoccur. So after the surgery, they may explain to you and tell you, I didn't do the surgery. It was a surgeon, a very experienced surgeon, not me. But it will be explained to you, if you don't do this, or if you do this, you may have problems. Because the surgeon knows exactly what he or she did. So God, and there's a reason why the surgery is done. So God does spiritual surgery on us. And there's a reason why that surgery is done. And there's a reason why he tells us what to do after the surgery. Are you listening to me? And so we explained that he takes away the heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh. Amen. Either you've gone home. So, when you invite Jesus into your life, receive him into your life, you become saved or born again. Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So a born-again Christian is somebody who recognizes that and acknowledges that essentially by our nature we are sinners, and so invites God or Jesus into your life to change you essentially. You receive Jesus into your life, you welcome him into your life, and Jesus becomes real to you. You personally receive Jesus into your life. Not only that, but you are determined to live a life controlled by the Word of God as you are led by the Spirit of God. Yeah. It's very important. You should be determined to lead a life controlled by the Word of God as led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Are you getting it? That's what the Bible says. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Are you getting it? So you must be determined to live your life controlled by the Word of God. And that's why when we come to church and the Word of God is coming, don't allow anybody to distract you. You can be seated here and you can be distracted. The whole of your service, your friend will be chatting with you. Oh, no, 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 software you are. We lead our lives controlled by the Word of God as led by the Spirit. So understand what we are saying. God had to do this surgery because of something, just like my son had surgery because of something. And then after that, you are told what to do. So last week, we tried to understand why God had to do the surgery in the first place. Either had gone home. And so the first thing we said was that the Bible says that we human beings, Minkabu, are sinners by our birth and by our lives. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 20, Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23. by our nature, by our lives, and by our birth, we are sinners. So God had to do spiritual surgery for you and I. And that's the way we go to heaven. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a pastor. I'm going to heaven for the same reason why you are going to heaven. You had spiritual surgery. I had spiritual surgery. That's why we are going to heaven. That's it. Not because I'm a pastor. And the reason why God had to do this spiritual surgery and take out a heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh is because by our very nature, our lives, and our birth, we are sinners. Yeah. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Look at the New Living Translation. Not a single person on earth is always good and never sins. Yeah. So I needed surgery and you also needed surgery. Number two, the Bible teaches that the good things that we do are seen as filthy rags that cannot please God. Isaiah 64 verse 6. Outside of Christ, any good thing doesn't please God. We explained all that. Number three, we can never be holy enough because we were conceived in sin. Psalm 58 verse 3, Ephesians 2, 1 to 4, Job 14, 4, etc., etc., Psalm 51 verse 5. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Look at the New Living Translation. These wicked people are born sinners. Even from birth, they have lied and gone their own way. That is why I needed spiritual surgery and you also needed spiritual surgery. Number four, the Bible tells us that none of us can receive salvation by doing anything in particular. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at the New Living, or give me a message rather. Okay, let's go to New Living and then we'll come to message. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. Message, New Living now. Let's go to New Living. Okay, we don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. So it's not what you do. You can't do anything to save yourself. That is why God reached out and saved us. It's true. Yeah, it's true. That's why we sing songs like, what love the Father has lavished on us. So that we will not forget our salvation. We will not forget that you couldn't do anything. Yeah. But God saved you. Because we can forget. Yeah. You can't do anything about it. The next one, we are not saved by our good works, but by our faith in Christ Jesus. The jailer asked Paul a question because he thought everybody had run away. And Paul said, we are here, we have not run away. Then he said, what must I do to be saved? Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved and thy household. or thy house. So that's how we are saved. You can't sweep the church. You can't give offering. You can't sing in the choir. You can't befriend the pastor to be saved. No. You have to just believe. That people find that a problem. So all I have to do is to believe. Yes. Hey, Mokayeli. That's all. There's nothing you can do. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you'll be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. There's nothing else to do but just to believe. Hey, Mokayeli. People find it difficult. But that's what it is. So you can't do anything to be saved. It's a gift. Salvation, righteousness is a gift. It's imputed. It's given as a gift. Number six. Because God is just, a God of faithfulness in whom there's no injustice, good and upright is he, and he punishes evil, he had to find a way of escape for us. Because the truth is, God will definitely punish the sins of men with curses, sickness, and separation from God, both now and forever in the lake of fire. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Romans 6, 23, Revelations 21, 8. So God decided to save us from hell. Why did God decide to save us? Number 7. The first reason is because he loves us. John 3, 16. Romans 5, 8. 1 John 4, 9, and 10. And the second reason is that we can't do anything to save ourselves. We can't. Not through your good deeds. Like being a member of this church. Like singing in the choir. Like befriending the pastor. Or any of the pastors here. Like paying your tithe. Like giving offering. There's no amount of offering you can give that can save you. You can't bribe God. So we couldn't save ourselves. That's why God decided to save us. Yeah. And number 8, there was a price that had to be paid. We were ransomed. A price had to be paid. And the price was our Savior. That's why God gave his dearest and best. To save us. That's the price. To save us from our sins. Hebrews 9:22. Almost all things are by law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So, we are saying that God had to perform spiritual surgery on us. Take out the heart of flesh, heart of stone, and give us a heart of flesh. And there was a reason, and I've tried to give reasons why. How many of you understand? Beautiful. So now that he has done that, what does that mean? What has happened? You see, I said that we did something, and God also did something. Do you get it? So what we did has led to something, and because of what it has led to, we also have to do something. So now we are looking at what has happened. Is it because we are sinners, then we came in faith, gave our lives to God, and because of that, certain things have happened. So today we want to try and understand what has happened. After you have given your life to Jesus, what has happened? And it is important that we understand. If you don't understand what I'm teaching, you can't fight. And Paul wrote to Timothy, a pastor, after he had said a lot of things. 1 Timothy chapter 1, he said a lot. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Chapter 2, he said so many things. Chapter 3, he spoke about the qualifications of a bishop and a deacon. Chapter 4, so many things. Chapter 5, so many things. Chapter 6, he started giving instructions, what servants should do, etc. Then in verse 12, he said, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. There's no way you can fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life if you don't understand. That is why, and you understand as I continue to teach, sometimes when you make a mistake, instead of coming to church, instead of running to God, it doesn't mean we should continue making mistakes. Because the Bible says, shall we continue to sin so that grace will abound? No. Paul himself gave the answer. But it's important for us to understand these things so that, number one, we'll go to heaven. And then number two, we'll be able to fight the good fight of faith. There are certain fights that you should not fight. I was talking to Reverend Richard and Reverend Ellie and Reverend Caffrey. And as we were comparing notes, I realized that I fought with somebody and the person ended up in Kolibu. The same for not Reverend Richard, not Kolibu, but he beat somebody. The person ended up in hospital. And Reverend Ellie also, but not Reverend Caffrey. He has not got strength for those type of things. But the three of us had the same notes. Yeah. He's a love doctor. He doesn't fight. But the person ended up in the Kolibu teaching hospital. My parents had to bring Milo and milk and Nakainibia. You know, when I came here in 2018, I almost fought because some boy was just a banger. Then I realized that I have to take it easy. But those type of fights are not good. Are you listening to me? Yeah. This type of fight, we know we will win. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. So we know the end of the matter from the beginning, that this particular fight, we will win. We always win. And we will win. Yeah. At the end of the book of Malachi, the Bible says there that there's a difference between the one who serves God and the one who doesn't serve God. We know who will win. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. But to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life, you have to understand what I'm teaching. Yeah. You have to understand it. You have to understand what I'm teaching. And that's why I'm taking my time to teach it. Some people are wondering, can't I teach something else? Even what I'm teaching, we all don't know. As I teach, one of the things I've come to realize, as I teach, I understand it better. Yeah. So we are all learning. At least we have understood that, number one, God had to do spiritual surgery because of certain things. And now we are seeing the result of the spiritual surgery. What has happened? Paul gave this instruction to Pastor Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. There's no way you can fight the good fight of faith if you don't understand these things that I'm sharing from the beginning. Onushishin. You have to understand. It's an onushishin. Yeah. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Yeah. These basics are important. We have to understand what happened. Amen. Either you've gone home. So, there's a chapter in this book It is called Six Powerful Effects or Results of Your Salvation. I'm going to share that with you. Amen. Are you enjoying the book? You didn't know that it was a powerful book like that. You look at it, so you say, this one is for new believers. Beautiful. So the first thing is, now that we have given our lives to Christ and Jesus, God has done the spiritual surgery, the first thing is, all your sins, past, present, and future ones are forgiven by Jesus' sacrifice. Yeah? Even your future sins will also be forgiven if you confess them. So it's like God has taken care of the past, the present, and the future. So what we are going to do next year, if Jesus doesn't come, has been taken care of. Yeah. And you have to know that. He doesn't give us license to sin, but we have to know. Yeah. Because you may make a mistake. You see, as we walk, we may make mistakes. Yeah. It's just like walking. You may trip, you may slip, you may fall. When you trip, you slip, and you fall, you don't sit in the mud or in the dust, and you get up quickly, brush the dust, you clean your trousers, clean your shirt, and then you continue to walk. Yeah. And make sure people who laugh at people don't see you. Because if you get somebody who laughs at people seeing you, like Sarah, she'll laugh at you. Ah, you are in trouble. She will laugh at you. She will never get finished of laughing. She will laugh at you. 5 years' time, sleeping dogs will not lie. She will laugh at you. When she remembers, no. Then you ask her, why are you laughing? She said, but the other day, you tripped and fell in front of Robert's chapel. She said, but it's 5 years ago, but you still fell. Are you understanding the message? So you get up quickly. It's the same thing. If you make a mistake, God expects you to get up quickly, knowing that provision has been made for your past, your present, and even your future sins. So when we give our lives to Christ, the slate is wiped clean. God says, He says, I am the one who blotted out thine iniquities and remembered them no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Who forgiveth thine iniquities? Turn your Bibles to the book of Psalm. Psalm 32, verse 5. I acknowledge my sin. Some of us, we don't acknowledge it. I acknowledge my sin and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Selah means tobwara. Stay there and think about it. I acknowledge my sin, because sometimes you argue. You are arguing with your father, and arguing with your mother, and arguing with everybody. But the psalmist said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin. So God forgives us, and the slate is wiped clean as if you never sinned. And then when you make a mistake and you repent and you acknowledge and you confess, it's wiped again. And repentance means you are going this way and you realize that going this way is wrong, and then you turn and you begin to go this way. That's repentance. Put your hands together for the Lord. Proverbs 28, verse 3. Hey, where have I gotten to? Should wear my glasses. Proverbs 28, verse 13. Forgive. When I don't wear my glasses, I see the numbers differently. What a shock. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. God has made provision. The day you give your life to Christ and that spiritual surgery is performed, it's as if you never sinned. Everything is wiped off. And then just in case you make a mistake, there's provision. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's as if it is the day you gave your life to Christ. God cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Yeah. Because when you give your life to Christ, with the heart, man believes unto what? Righteousness. And so it's as if you never sinned. You have a right standing with God. And so when you make a mistake and you acknowledge it and you don't cover it and you confess the sin, then God also will wash it away and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Next verse. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Next verse. Next verse, chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So it is true, God has made that provision. We are not supposed to sin, but just in case. And that is why if you make a mistake, you shouldn't allow the devil to bully you, because the devil will tell you, owner, men if they born again, no, no, if you are not saying, oh, yeah, so more. Oh, if you're born again, oh, yeah, so more. And then suddenly you realize that you won't come to church. You sit at home. And you stop praying. And you stop reading your Bible. But the Bible says, once you realize it, acknowledge it. Don't cover it. Come and confess. And he's faithful, he is just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But it is the devil who will tell you, if you're born again, oh, now, Subai. Oh, now, I can't mean if you're born again, I don't know if you're a man. Oh, show him. Oh, now, God, show him. Where do you think you are going to? As you are ironing your dress, where do you think you are going to? Come on. So suddenly, although you've given your life to Christ, you make a mistake. And we will make mistakes. You see, fish live in water, but we don't live in water. But you can go into water by your own decision, or you may be pondered. Yeah. And so that's how it is. Sometimes, knowingly you sin, you know the thing is wrong. But you close your conscience and you do it. You dive into it. No problem. God will forgive you. And sometimes it's a mistake. God will forgive you. But we shouldn't do it because we know that Paul says that, shall we continue to sin because grace abounds? God forbid. Do you get it? So you are not able to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life because you don't know this. And so the devil always comes to you and accuses you. Remember, he's the accuser of the brethren. He stood beside Joshua the high priest and began to accuse him in the book of Zechariah. He will accuse you. He will tell you, where do you think you are going? You have ironed your, and it's a white dress too. You are going to church. You are going for Covenant Sunday. You have ironed your white dress. What are you going to do in church? Look at you. What did you do on 31st? What do you do on 24th? And you are going to church. And then suddenly, white shirt, the ironing of the white shirt will stop. And then you go and sit down quietly. Yeah. Facebook crowd. Yeah. That's why I'm explaining that it is a fight, though. It is the good fight of faith. And this one, you must understand it. Because we will make mistakes. And when you make a mistake, you must be able to come back. Yeah. Come back. Come back to God. Come back to your first love. Yeah. Take me back. Isn't that the song? Take me back, dear Lord. So the songs, they are important too. You see, the choristers, they just come and sing the song. They don't even think about the song. Yeah. Take me back. Take me back. The singing is also preaching. Singing helps the preaching, in case you don't know. Singing, it helps the preaching. Yeah. Take me back. So the devil will bully you. Although the Bible says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Although the Bible says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Although the Bible says, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. Although the Bible says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You'll be there. And he will accuse you. And you'll not be happy. What a shock. Don't allow him to bully you. So that's number one. Number two. This is the result. Number two. You have received eternal life. Yeah. First John. No, let's start with John 3:16. What does it say? Let's read from verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Yeah. We sing songs about eternal life. When you believe in him, you don't perish, but you have what? Verse 15. Verse 15 here, Jamie. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Eternal life. What then is eternal life? John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What then is eternal life? 1 John 5. Let's read from verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he had testified of his son. We believe everything. Sometimes we don't believe God's word. Yeah. We don't believe his word. Anyway. But God is saying, if you believe the witness of... Because when a policeman does this, you believe, you stop your car. It doesn't occur to you that policeman didn't check where Julonea will police be at Ali. Because you believe the witness of men. Why don't you believe the witness of God, God's word, which has been tested and tried? The Bible says that the words of the Lord are what? Pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified 7 times. I think it's Psalm 12 verse 6, eh? Or 6 verse 12, one of them. Check. 12 verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified 7 times. You can trust God's word. So back to 1 John. Look at 1 John. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he had testified of his son. So God is saying that if you believe what people are saying, you have to believe what I'm saying about my son too. Let's go on. Verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God had made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his son. And this is the record that God had given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his son. He who has the son has life. Next verse. He that hath the son hath life, and he that hath not the son of God hath not life. So that's eternal life. What then is eternal life? Sometimes we think eternal life is living forever, but it's not true. Because those who are in hell will also live forever. Jesus told us about the rich man. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, who fed sumptuously every day. Isn't it? And the Bible says that there was a poor man, a beggar named Lazarus, who laid at his gates, and he was full of sores. And moreover, the dogs licked his sores. Recently, I was reading an article, and I read that maybe saliva of dogs may contain certain antibiotics. I don't know if it's true. That's why dogs are always licking their sores. Have you noticed that? Hey, Bishop, I just read it, so don't take me on, I beg you. And the Bible says that the poor man died, isn't it? He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died because he had money. He was buried. And the Bible says that in hell, he lifted up his eyes and seeing Abraham afar off with Lazarus in his bosom. And he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to dip his finger in the water and come and cool my tongue, because I'm tormented in the flame. So we see that the rich man is living on. So eternal life is not living on. It's not living forever. That teaching is erroneous. You know, Kwari, I understood it. I've always thought about it. I understood it better. A couple of weeks, Bishop was preaching. He said something. So when preaching is going, you have to listen. He said, when we become born again, it's as if we are back in the Garden of Eden. Just like Adam was able to communicate with God. I don't know if you remember that preaching. I remember. He said, when we are born again, it's as if we have gone back. Not exactly that, but something like gone back to the Garden of Eden. It's true. And that's eternal life. So eternal life is God imparting his nature and his life into you so that you can now communicate with him. That's eternal life. That is why it is like going back to the Garden of Eden, where Adam could talk to God, and God would come in the cool of the day, and God said, Adam, where are you? As my Adam, may I feel no need if you're. Yeah. So eternal life is the very nature of God being imparted into your life, and his life, Zoe, the God kind of life, such that you can now communicate with God. So when you read the Bible, you now understand the Bible. And when you can speak to God, you can tell God. The other day I was praying about something. He didn't mind me. Why? If you keep asking him, he will tell you why. You can talk to God like that. And we are translated from darkness into light. Colossians 1:13. Look at it. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So that's eternal life. You are no longer, because before we became born again, and you had been quickened, who were dead in your trespasses and in your sins, and you lived according to the dictates of the flesh. You lived according to the prince of the power of the earth. And by nature, you were children of wrath. So that was where we were. That was what controlled us. But when we come to God, we receive eternal life. He imparts his nature and his life. We are now able to communicate with him, and we are no longer under the control of the devil. Clap for Jesus. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. We are no longer under the control of the devil. It's true. That's eternal life. It's not being here forever. Because if you go to hell, you also be in hell forever. Tormented in flames. You'll be there forever. So it's not living forever. That's not eternal life. Hallelujah. I'm trying to explain it. I pray God will help us to understand. Are you there? You've gone home. Beautiful. Now, time is galloping like a horse. Number three, you are now a child of God. A child is different from a servant. Galatians 3:26. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So our faith, that's what I'm saying, that salvation is by faith. It just makes you a child of God. You're a child of God. We are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Children are different from servants. Yeah. Children have access to the Father. Servants may not or don't have. Yeah. And it's important that we understand that we are God's children. It gives us access. John chapter 1 verse 10. The Bible says he was in the world and created the world, but the world did not know him. Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe. Verse 13, you can add it and be happy. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Yeah. That is it. So we are his children. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And those of us who have this hope in ourselves, purify ourselves, even as he is pure. So the Bible says we are God's children. Children are different from. Yeah. It means you can have access to God. My children come to me and ask, knowing that I will give. And my daughter has a way of calling me daddy. When she calls me daddy like that, I know that she's looking for something. That daddy is different, it is accented, and it is modulated in a way. Yeah. It's the daddy is accented and it is modulated. Yeah. 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 When she asks, she knows I'll give. Yeah. And she knows. That's why she comes to ask. Unless it's not in my power. But if it's in my power, I will. And so if we are God's children, we must know. And we must believe. that when we ask anything according to his will, he will give it to us. Yeah. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. So when Jesus was praying, his disciples didn't say, teach us how to raise the dead or to heal the sick. They realized that the source of the power was the prayer. So they came to Jesus in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And they asked Jesus a question. Lord, teach us how to pray, like John taught his disciples to pray. And he said, when you pray, say, our Father. Because that is what gives us access. He is our Father. Just like my daughter knows that I have access, I can come and ask. And the Father will give me. If you are going to lay hold on eternal life, you have to know this. And you have to pray and believe that God will hear. And by the way, prayer makes God happy with us. Because prayer is an act of faith. And it is faith that pleases God. Yeah. Because he knows I have access. Yeah. You know, children know they have access. My daughter will come to my room, throw herself onto my bed. When I'm not there, she tells my wife that this is my place. She goes to lie at my place with my wife because she knows she has access. As a child, as a daughter, a servant doesn't have that access. No. She knows. So there was a woman who married a man who had lost his wife. And the daughter knows that this is daddy. So they will be in the room and the daughter will come and throw herself onto the bed. Daddy, all over daddy, mwah, daddy, mwah, mwah. Because my daughter does that. She'll come and put her arms around me. Daddy, mwah. You can easily be irritated because you are the stepmother. And the stepmother was irritated. But the daughter didn't think she was doing anything wrong. Because this is my daddy. That's my daddy. I have access. So I'm going to my daddy. I'm going to my daddy. I'm going to my daddy. To her, it was not a problem. I have access to my daddy. The devil doesn't want you to know that you're a child of God and that you can have access. Even if you make a mistake, you have to acknowledge it. Don't cover it. Confess it and come. It will be as if you never sinned. I am he who blotted out thine iniquities and remembereth them no more. You can always have access to your daddy. But the devil will accuse you all the time. But this child, as far as he knew, is my daddy. My daddy before you came. As you have come, you have to understand that it's my daddy. That's all. Before you came, that's my daddy. Isn't it? Yeah. So I'm enjoying my daddy. And it's important that we get it. That we are children of God. And so we have access to God. That is why sometimes we always say, pray for me. Because you don't know you have access. My daughter doesn't need somebody to come to me through. She comes directly. Yeah. She doesn't need any. She doesn't go through anybody. Yeah. You can pray. You have access. You are a child. You can come. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You can pray. You can talk to God. Yeah. It's true. And sister was telling us, we were here, she said, even in the washroom, and I talk to God in the washroom, and I sit on the bowl, and I stretch my hands and I take something, I can be talking to God. He's not angry. Yeah. Because my daughter can talk to me from the washroom. Easy. Yeah. When I'm in my washroom, the door is open, she will be talking and I'll be replying. When she's also here, I talk and she replies. It's not a problem. At all. It's access. Because she's my daughter. The same for my sons.
Only my daughter, when she's saying it, she has a special way of saying it. I'm sure those of you who have daughters understand. Yeah. They have a way of mentioning daddy. Yeah. It's accented. There's an accent. And it's modulated also. Yeah. You can see that she's trying to rap you. But what can you do? You answer. Yeah. So we are children. We have access. Hey, my time is going. Number two. Which number are we? We are number. So number one is what? All your sins in the past and present and even the future ones are forgiven. Amen. Number two, you have received eternal life. Number three. Number four, you are now a new creature in Christ. That one, I've thought a lot about it already. Yeah. If you go to Christmas, when I was teaching from that green book, How to Preach Salvation, I said a lot because one of the chapters was on the new creation. I thought about it, isn't it? Yeah. You are now a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Only Christianity claims to change us. Yeah. All the old things ended last year. That's what the prophet told us on the 31st. All the things that harmed us and caused trouble for us and don't help us, it ended last year. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So you are a new creature. God has created you anew. Your spirit is changed. I explained by saying that eternal life means that God comes and he parts his nature and his life. So that's what happens. So you become new. So essentially you are new. Hallelujah. Amen. And we have to understand that. Now I want to show you a certain scripture. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. So we are created, we are it's something new that God is doing. Do you get it? Something new. Workmanship creates us anew. Look at the New Living Translation. Beautiful. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew. You are a new creature. In Christ Jesus. So we can do the good things he had planned for us long ago. So, you see, that's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I can. Yes, I can. I can do. You can do. We can do. We can do. You can do. I can do. Together we can. Together we can build. Yes, we can. Yes, we will do. Because you are a new creature. You are his masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Yeah. It's true. You are a new creature. When God took out the heart of stone and gave you a heart of flesh, he made you a new creature. So we can do the good things he planned for us. So it's possible to fast. So for me, I'm fasting. So for, oh, bare 11, not an answer, wait a minute. Oh, so for, hey, fasting. Oh, yeah, oh. I'm an over 12 for my means is I but Srawara. Yeah. You can. Unless the doctor says no. You can. You can come here at 5 o'clock. This week, all of us, look at us, we are a lot. This week, 5 o'clock, all of us are sacrificing and are coming here. Katasha no Obami at Sunday. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. He created us anew.
So we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago. Jesus said when you fast, it's part of the good things. So you can come here. I said you can come here. From Monday to Friday at 5 to pray. Don't sit at home. No time you are there, sir. Yes, we can. It's possible. Kata de sa. I'm going to show you a scripture which is very important. Galatians chapter 6. Let me check the verse. Verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. But what? A new creature. Yeah. Once you are new, you are different. Paul said, henceforth we know no man after the flesh. Once you are a new creature. So you see, because in those days they were saying, you have to be circumcised, you don't have to be circumcised. Paul was saying that, don't worry. The most important thing is that you are a new creature. Yeah. When God did spiritual surgery, he made you new. You are brand new. Yeah. And you have to know it. You have to know it. You see, this is a good fight. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Yeah. You have to understand that circumcision, uncircumcision, the most important thing is you're a new creature. Look at the New Living Translation. It doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creature. Yeah? That's what is important. Not whether you were circumcised or not. What counts is that you're a new creature. What is important is that you're a new creature. What is important is if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That is what counts. That is what is important. Look at Message Bible. Can't you see the central issue in all this? It is not what you do, and I do submit to circumcision or reject some circumcision. It is what God is doing, and he's creating something totally new. Free life. Something totally new. You have to understand that you're a new creature. That is what is important. And God says you are his masterpiece, and you can do what he has planned for you to do. The old self can't do it, but the new self is empowered and can do. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The next point, your name is written in the book of life. Revelations chapter 21. Verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Let us go to verse 20 and read. So the next point, I'm giving you the 2 points together because it's time to go home. The 2 points together. Next point, your name is written in the book of life. Last point, you are going to go to heaven. We are going to heaven. Hey, Bishop, how do you know this song? Louis Newmawato.
So I've given you the two last points together because it's time to go home. The fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh, etc. Next verse. And the 12 gates were made of pearl. Next verse is describing heaven. And I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Verse 24. And the nations of them which are saved. Are you saved? Then you are in heaven. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither worketh abomination, or maketh a lie. So who will be in heaven but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life? Yeah. We serve a good God. Heaven is real. Jesus said, I'm preparing a place for you. And I'll receive you unto myself. So that where I am, you also be there. Heaven. Yeah. You are going to go to heaven. Once you are saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, not go to hell, but have everlasting life. Yeah. You go to heaven. You will not perish in hell. You are not condemned. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, to go to hell, but that the world through him might be saved and go to heaven. You are not going to hell. So we are going to heaven, and we will make it to heaven by the grace of God. So sometimes people ask questions. When are we going? Post-tribulation, inter-tribulation, pre-tribulation. I don't know some of these things. I'm not an expert. I wish I could bring an expert. Maybe, I don't know if Reverend Kaffee is an expert. But what I know is that live your life. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Live your life as if God can come this afternoon. As if he can come tonight. As if he can come tomorrow. Yeah. And what I know is that once you give your life to Jesus, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And you will go to heaven. Yeah, it's true. But Bishop, some people say that once saved, not always saved. With my name being the book of life all the time. And this tribulation thing, the Bible also says that if the days are not shortened, the very elect shall be deceived. That's why I'm saying that. You know something? Live your life as if he's coming now. Yeah. As if he's coming now. As if he's coming now. Jesus said that he's going to come like a thief in the night. As if he's coming now. Let's live our lives like that. Work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Heaven is real. Yeah. When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I was showing you, we were reading from verse 9. Certain things and certain in, yeah. Know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. We were showed that last week that effeminate means that, oh, fohe tumoyo, shinunjibo. nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed. You see, if we are here, we have been what? Washed, sanctified, and we are what? Justified. If you are here, that is it. In the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Washed, sanctified, justified. So we are going to heaven. The Bible says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Romans chapter 5. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. I'm ending now. I can see by the clock. It says I should end by force. You should just give me 1 or 2 minutes. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are not condemned to hell. We are justified. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Look at it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law, look at it, of the life in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, is verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Once you are in Christ, you are free from the law of sin and death. Yeah. For the law of the Spirit has made me free from the law of sin and death. Yeah. We were dead in our trespasses and our sins. We were going to hell. But look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But means it has canceled everything. Because if I say I was bringing you chocolate, but I met Reverend Ellie, it means, oh, chocolate, pardon. How many of you understand that one? Yeah. So, and you had him quickened, who were dead. Look at verse 1. In trespasses and in sins. Have you seen it? Next verse. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation. That is your lifestyle. In time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, by nature, children of wrath, even as others. Which means that we attracted God's wrath, and God was ready to punish us. But Christ came. And God put that wrath on Christ instead of us. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Next verse. Even when we were dead in our sins, going to hell, had quickened us together, made us alive with Christ Jesus. By grace he has saved. Next verse. And had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. In Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. Hallelujah. You can read the rest later on. It's homework. Bow down your heads and let's pray. The time says it's time to go home. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Talk to God briefly. And as every head is bowed, every eye closed. Pray with me, Pastor. I want to give my life to Jesus. Maybe somebody invited you to church. Pray with me, Pastor. Lift up your right hand high above your head. You want to give your life to Jesus. Lift your hand high above your head. If your hand is up, rise to your feet and come to me. Maybe you are backsliding, you don't go to church. God bless you, I can see some hands. You don't go to church. But you want to say, I will go to church from today. Rise up and join us. I'm waiting for you. Come all the way. I saw some more hands. Don't be shy, don't be afraid. Come to Jesus. You want to give your life to Jesus? Come. I'm waiting for you.
So come and let's pray. So original nine so nebrani on bomb pyre. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. And so, Father, we thank you. Hallowed be your name. We give you praise. We give you glory. Let's all pray this prayer. Everybody, make sure that you are born again. You are going to heaven. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus who died for me and went to hell so that I will not die and go to hell. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. Please be my Lord and Savior. Please write my name in your book of life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Look at our pastor. She's going to talk to you for a few minutes. And then you come back. Wow. God bless you.
I hope you were greatly blessed by today's word. Follow Bishop Hamish on Facebook, YouTube, and Spotify for more messages. God bless you.